The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Peanut butter and jelly and a Jehoshaphat jam. That's right. And the steps for getting through the mud and the how-to in the how-do-we-do life.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience show number 100, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. I can tell you right now, I got a trivia question that ain't easy. That's right. I use the word ain't. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, prayer requests, or praise reports. However it works for you. It's not professional radio. It's just radio. So don't worry about doing it perfect. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. We have reached 100 in our live shows, which is not too shabby. We'll take that. This segment, by the way, brought to you by our very own Jamie Blumenthal. Money, money, money. Jamie and Nancy are the president and owner of Retirement Strategies and Solutions. Keeping it real easy, I had some texting going on with Jamie. He was going to be in the studio on Friday. Now he's going to be in the studio next Wednesday, so in a week from today. He is, and she is, the owner of Retirement Strategies Solutions, RetireTheRightWay.com. That's the big key, RetireTheRightWay.com. And like I mentioned to him, and it's true, and I'm telling you, every time I hear RetireTheRightWay.com, I think of a wrong way sign or a one-way sign and somebody going down the wrong direction. And I've actually had that on the freeway, so I'll just let you know. RetireTheRightWay.com, 800-287-1667 is their phone number. They'll meet with you for a while, maybe an hour, talk to you, get an idea of what's going on, give you some advice, give you some input, and then you can decide if this input is something you want to follow or if it's not something you want to follow. It doesn't cost you anything. He's got that checkbook deflector that if you try and go in there with money, he's like, ding, 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 I just want to talk. 800-287-1667. RetireTheRightWay.com for those that are in that financial position and they need help, wisdom, insights, and or anything else along those lines. Jamie's there for you. Okay, got two holidays going on today. We're not counting the 100 show as a holiday. Number one, it's Professional Speakers Day. So for people that speak professionally, this is their Speakers Day. I don't know if anybody who's a professional speaker knows that, and it doesn't seem like it's a very popular holiday. It would be one that I would normally celebrate because I speak professionally, but I don't think anybody cares. Also, it's National Lighthouse Day, and for that, we have the classic lighthouse joke. A battleship was on an exercise at sea in bad weather. The captain was on the bridge. It was foggy. Just after dark, the lookout spotted a light on the starboard side. The captain asked if it was steady or moving. The lookout replied the light was steady, meaning they were on a direct collision course with that ship. The captain ordered the lookout signal to the other ship Change course 20 degrees. We're on a collision course. Signal came back. Advise for you to change course. Captain signaled, I am a captain. Change course 20 degrees. Reply came, I am a seaman, second class. You better change course 20 degrees. Captain was furious and sent back, I am a battleship. Change course. Signal came back, I am a lighthouse. Your call. That's pretty good. Come on. And then Pete, a lot of pastors will take that and go, okay, now we're going to, you know, use that as a perspective. I know, but it's just a good joke. And for those of you that just because they say this was recorded in 1995 and 1982 and 1983, it's an urban legend. It's a myth. Okay. But it's a great story and it's a great joke. I like it. All right. There you go. We'll take care of the lighthouse right there. Just make sure that you change course when it is a lighthouse. Let's get right into our speak or our teach or our review or what I call our reach. So somewhere between teaching and preaching, somewhere between teaching, which is a T, and preaching, which is a P, is an R, and the R stands for reaching. And that's what we're hoping to do with what we talk about today. This is really, it does actually have a title, believe it or not. It's called the Jehoshaphat Jam. Let me read to you out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Eden, from the other side of the sea. It's already in the Hezazon Tamar, that is in Gadi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. He proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. Let me just start off by talking about the vast army that came from the Moabites. And I want you to follow this because some of you will catch some of the references. Let me explain to you that armies that come against you are big, they are bad, and they are ugly. And they happen often. Now, the armies in our lives, they can be people, situations, feelings, sin, Satan, or whatever our own El Guapo is, it could be that. For those of you that are looking for a reference, look no further than the Three Amigos. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is there are times in our lives that we face armies, and those armies have different looks to them. Now, I know that's not the main of the text, but the application here is that Jehoshaphat was facing an army, something that was greater than he was. And let me just explain to you that the word vast is really an important element in the Hebrew because it's trying to give you a perspective, like we were just talking about the lighthouse, that this was bigger and beyond his scope for him to be able to handle. So in verse 3, it says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Now, I want to say something about this because this is a critical element in Christianity that we miss. Jehoshaphat's looking at the armies, and the armies are large. The army is vast. It's a big situation. For you, it could be somebody that you're dealing with. It could be a situation that you can't seem to get out of, maybe financially. Maybe it's just your feelings are getting overwhelming, and you don't know how to put things in check. Maybe it's a besetting sin that you're really struggling with. You just don't want to tell anybody, which is fine, except for you need to be honest about it, especially with the Lord. And maybe it's just the enemy coming against you and giving you a really hard time and fighting against you. Like I said, whatever your own personal El Guapo is, there you go. Except Jehoshaphat did something that a lot of Christians don't do, which is crucial for us to do. He first sought the Lord. He resolved to inquire of the Lord, proclaimed a fast. The people came together with him to seek God's help, to seek help from the Lord. They came from all over to do that. One of the things that I find amazing is even in my own walk, how often I fail to go to the Lord first. In fact, I do a whole series on prayer, and one of the elements in prayer is that often prayer for many Christians is the last resort, the thing you do at the end, because everything else, you know, hasn't worked. So now it's time to go to God because you've done everything else that you can do. And that kind of thinking, by the way, runs under the guise of God helps those who help themselves. Like, okay, not a scripture and not even close to biblical truth. Jehoshaphat sought God's help first, not last. There's a thought. How about in the midst of our situation, in the beginning of our situation, how about we ask for God's help? How about we start right off the bat? I will use as an biblical example, Jonah, who waited not until he was thrown in the water, not until the ship sailed away, not when the big animal came to him, whether it was a great white or a whale, whatever it wasn't a cartoon, whatever it was that swallowed him whole, not when that happened, but after he was swallowed, then he prayed. I'm thinking I would have been praying at least while I'm going in, right? Because when I'm going in, I'm thinking, this isn't good. But Jehoshaphat's example is, wait a minute, why don't we pray in the beginning of this? As it starts off, coming before the Lord, seeking his help. And I'm not talking about, and I really mean this, I'm not talking about the flippant prayer that drools out of the left side of our mouths or the right side of our mouths when we say, all right, Lord, help. Because that's not really much of prayer. That's not really seeking the Lord. That's just saying to your own conscious mind, well, I'm just making sure it's covered. Don't cover. Go into the partnership with God. Get into it. We have a saying. Somebody told me the saying. I still think it's good. I think it's good for Christians. If you can't get out of it, get into it. I mean, here's the bottom line. You got to engage with it. So go to the Lord. Find out what's taking place. Try and get in that partnership with God. Regardless, the Lord never allows things in your life simply to make your life miserable. He's not up there playing with you. Oh, I got nothing to do. Oh, I got my petri dish, the people. Oh, let's see if I can mess around and have some fun. Okay, that doesn't happen. Keep in mind that when you're pained, the Lord is well aware that you're going through the pain. Or when you're struggling, he's well aware. So come to him. He's your creator. He's your dad. He's your dad and your father. Come to him first. Seek him first. Find him first. When we get back, we're going to dissect the prayer that Jehoshaphat offered. You're listening to the David Smoot Experience right here in KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Wow, what a roof! It's time to bless it.
What?
We need to bless the roof.
You used the Blessed Roofing Company, didn't you? Tell me you worked with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Two things. One, it's in the name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Two, it's in the number, 469-BLESSED. That's 469-253-7732.
But anyone can put up a roof, can't they?
Can they? Oy vey. You want to walk underneath the roof that hasn't been blessed?
You first.
You need to talk with John at the Blessed Roofing Company. Whether it's roof repairs, a new roof, or inspections, call him at 469-BLESSED. Or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com. With the Blessed Roofing Company, you got it covered. Get it? Good.
Because reliability starts at the top.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. weekdays at 2 on God Country Texas, 770 KAAM.
Not wanting to miss a moment, talking about the moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Well, we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that he's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.
Snap, crackle, pop. That's not just an old cereal reference. That's the sound our bodies make when they're out of whack. Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, owner of the Specific Chiropractic Center in Richardson, is here to help. If you're experiencing pain from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, it's time for a checkup, a chiropractic checkup. Reach out to Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown, for an evaluation. Less pain is a good thing. Are you suffering from a chronic condition that's not improving? You can call him at 972-454-9362. That's 972-454-9362. Or go directly to his website and schedule an appointment, drbrandonbrown.com. That's drbrandonbrown.com. If you tell him that you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, you might even get a lollipop. It feels good to feel good. Connect with the chiropractic doctor extraordinaire, Dr. B, Dr. Brandon Brown. Go to drbrandonbrown.com. Get hope, get well, live well. Get to feeling groovy again.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Want to let you know, if you want to email us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Facebook, David Spoon Media. YouTube, David Spoon Media. This segment brought to you, in fact, by Dr. Brandon Brown. All right, Dr. Brandon Brown, working on my wife. He is the director of the Specific Chiropractic Center out of Richardson. He is, we call him Cairo Extraordinaire. He goes by Dr. B, which is why we play the bumblebee.
Just so you can know.
See, Dr. B, get it? Dr. Brandon Brown. B for Brandon, B for Brown. B for brilliant, thanks. Okay, drbrandonbrown.com is his website. D-R for Dr. Brandon Brown. Brandonbrown.com. Brandonbrown.com. 972-454-9362. 972-454-9362. We're going to do trivia probably in the next segment, from what I can tell, but I want to get right into this Jehoshaphat prayer of dependence that we've been talking about. What we've been talking about essentially is facing the armies, and the armies in life can be people, situations, feelings, sin. It can be Satan himself, or it can be our own El Guapo, whatever that is. And Jehoshaphat did something fantastic as a king. He sought God's help first, not last. Great thought. So here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 5 through 12, the first part of verse 12, he gives a prayer, and I want to go through the prayer. It's really one of the best prayers that's in Scripture. I love this portion. It's one of my favorites. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now, here are men from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance? Oh God, will you not judge them? Now here is something amazing. In this portion, in this prayer, you can jump up and down all you want. This is what's in Scripture. Jehoshaphat says to the Lord, well, you did this. You gave us this land, and then you told us not to wipe these people out. Now look how they're repaying us. They're trying to wipe us out. And this is just not right. First of all, you gave us this land. You're the ruler in heaven. You're the God of all. Everybody is subject to you. You gave this land to Abraham and his descendants. Here we are in this land. If we've done something wrong, we come before you, we confess, we ask for your help. Now these people are coming and they're attacking and we haven't done anything to provoke it. And we need your help in this situation. So the first thing that Jehoshaphat is doing is he's acknowledging God is in charge. And this is in the palm of his hand. And then at the end of at the middle part of verse 12, he says, oh God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. And that's the part I want you to zero in on. I'm not trying to belittle anybody. But I am saying specifically, we have an attitude that is, and in many cases is good if it's done right, is, we'll prevail, we can do it, we have confidence. But oftentimes that turns into an arrogance. And when confidence goes to arrogance, it's simply removing God from the confidence, and then it becomes arrogance. So what I'm saying is in this prayer, as Jehoshaphat's acknowledging that God is in charge, he then acknowledges, hey, we don't have any strength on our own. And for everybody that's accomplished anything in this world, and these are the kind of philosophical discussions and papers that I get into writing, it's just some of the things that I do, the idea that we are entitled to anything is absolute lunacy on everybody's part. Let me tell you something. Our country, and I've said this before, greatest country there is. And in our country, we offer the right, the privilege to pursue life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We entitle the citizens to do that. By the way, it says pursuit of happiness, not provision of happiness. So for everybody that's trying to say that the government needs to take care of it all, it's just absurdity. That's not even how the country was founded in any capacity. It's the pursuit of happiness, not the provision of happiness. But I want to say something. That is the right that we have in this country. But that right and the establishment of our Constitution and our country does not have supremacy over God. And God does not tell anybody that they have entitlement to anything, period. The fact that you got to breathe one breath as a baby or as an adult, as a child, as anything else, is a gift from God that you could never, nor will you ever, deserve. God grants life because he is a God of life. But that is not something that you are entitled to under the domain of God. For no man is in a position where God has debt to him ever. God doesn't owe anybody anything ever. And while he's made a case to bring us into his fellowship, he is not dependent on us. I know there's preachers saying, oh, God, you can't get along without us. So absurd. It's unbelievable. God is independent of all. He is God. And he privileges us with the opportunity to fellowship, with the right given through the blood of Jesus Christ, but only given by God, not seized by man, so to speak. It's a gift. It's not something that you I deserve to have this. You don't deserve to breathe, let alone anything else. So my point in this, in bringing this up, is simply this. We need to acknowledge that God is in charge. And we need to acknowledge that there's no strength of our own. I want to say this real quickly. They make a big deal about, well, you can only survive so many days without food. And they give you a listing of days. It's like somewhere between 7 days and, you know, 30 days. Everybody that's doing a lot of those fasts are doing some kind of supplements or adding something in. Then they say, well, you can only exist so long without water, right? So you can get how long you can go without water, and then your body will dry up, and then you go into dehydration, so on and so forth. All those things sound great, but guess what doesn't even come into play? How long you can go without breath? Let's see. How long can you go? All right, let's see you go 1 hour without breathing, without any assistance. Go. Oh, wait, you can't go 1 hour without breathing? I guess God wins. Okay? What I'm saying is he's in charge, and every breath we take is a gift. So anything we do with that breath, the glory goes back to God. Anything that reflects him is because of him. Anything that doesn't reflect him is because of our sinfulness. So this prayer that Jehoshaphat offers, God, you are in charge. You're in charge. And number two, I got no strength on my own. Can't do this. I need you. I need your help. When I prayed that prayer, oh, goodness, 39, I guess it's 39 years ago. When I asked the Lord to free me from doing drugs, it's exactly what I said. I hadn't even really understood the Bible. I hadn't really gotten a grasp. I had just read passages and different things. But I told the Lord, there's no way I'm going to do this without help. I'm not doing it. It's not going to happen. Not happening. But I also said, with your help, I can do anything. And I prayed that the Lord would set me free. And he did. And now I didn't deserve it. He granted it to me as a gift, and it changed the course of my life. And hopefully in the process of my life, I've had the opportunity to encourage and change the course of other people's lives, all because God said so. No other reason. Okay? When we acknowledge that, we're in a better place when we're in prayer. Let's not be arrogant. Remember, confidence minus God becomes arrogance. You can be confident in God. You can't be confident apart from God. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. That's what you can do. Nothing. Nothing of worth. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Whether you're buying a new home or selling your current home or both, you want to work with somebody who's completely committed to the process and believes it's as important as you do. The answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. In real estate, there are people who get involved to make a few extra dollars. There's nothing wrong with that, but if you're interested in working with somebody who's committed to the process of treating people like family and approaching real estate the way that would be best for you, the answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. With every client, she sees an opportunity to honor the Lord and to do the ministry he has called her to do faithfully. For her, it's not a job, it's a calling. The answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. Call Pam at 817-505-5541 or visit blessedrealtycompany.com. Have a meeting with her at no obligation. She'll be glad to help you and will do whatever she can to be a blessing.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Woman walks into window and sues for injuries. Play that again. A Apparently now being moronic entitles you to sue. Here's the problem. The person walked into a window and sued the restaurant owner because there was a window there. I want to say two things. One, my dog has more common sense than that because my dog stops at the window and waits. And number two, I guess with the $100,000 the woman is trying to get, she can buy a sensor that goes off and she can wrap it around her forehead so that whenever she's going to come close to an object, it will beep for her. What do you think? That's a good one.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, website davidspoonmedia. This segment brought to you by our good friend who's going to be in the studio tomorrow, John.
Big John. Big John.
So the Blessed Roofing Company, 4.9 stars out of 5 stars on the Google reviews. Here's the bottom line. If you're looking for somebody to do a review on your roof, whether it's for replacement or repairs, at no cost and no obligation and no pressure, they're not going to be at your door with cookies right afterwards and going, sign up with us, sign up with us, sign up with us. You want to touch base with John at the Blessed Roofing Company, theblessedroofingcompany.com. Now, their phone number is a cool phone number. It's 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED, 469-BLESSED. And their website, theblessedroofingcompany.com, is just not something you're going to likely forget. Why? Because it's the Blessed Roofing Company, and every time you go there, it's blessed. That's how you go. That's how it is. Great guy. They're working on our house. I appreciate him. He's going to be in tomorrow. Hopefully, there's not any. Sometimes people come to the studio and there's a problem with the, you know, with traffic, whatever the case may be. So I get here early because I know kind of how that goes. Hopefully, all goes well. Again, 469 blessed, 469 BLESSED, the Blessed Roofing Company. Here is our trivia question before we get into the next phase. Are we ready? Are you doing all right, Wonder Julie? Everything good? You all right?
I'm cool.
Okay. Just making sure. All right. In 1 Peter. Okay, there's your first hint. In 1 Peter. Ooh, dude, Dave's talking about 1 Peter. What type of animal is linked to the devil? What? What kind of animal is linked to the devil in 1 Peter? Ooh. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Pretty straightforward. So we've been talking about Jehoshaphat. We've been talking about the armies that he faced, people, situations, feelings, sin, Satan, or our own El Guapo. I'm a Three Amigos fan, so just get over it. Then we're talking about his prayer of dependence, which is outstanding, acknowledging that God is in charge and we don't have any strength of our own. But he gives the key. Let me say this. At the end or the last part of verse 12 to the whole process. In verse 12, at the end of the verse, he says, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And therein lies the key. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That is the key in getting through the mud. That is the key in getting through the yuck. Having a fixed vision on God. You think, well, you can't always have a fixed vision on God. Yes, you can. You can look at everything and in your brain insert a little picture that says God and just see it with God in the picture. You know what I'm talking about. The answer is to have a fixed vision on God and not on the situation. If you think about Jesus walking on the water and Peter being in the boat and he gets out of the boat and the scripture says Peter walked on the water and the scripture is specific and talks about the fact that he looked at the waves moving about, the wind was swirling about, and as soon as he took his eyes on those things, as soon as he focused on that scenario, on that situation, his faith shrunk and he began to sink. You think, well, how do you know his faith shrank? Because Jesus said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? He's challenging him. Why don't you hold faith? Why don't you stand firm in the faith? The grace in that situation, of course, is that Jesus was so close that he scooped him up. Remember, this isn't Jesus in the divine, and this isn't the resurrected Jesus. This is Jesus in the humble position of a man. He was that close to Peter, which kind of indicates that Peter made it a distance and then kind of went down. But I want you to catch, I want you to see, I want you to understand the power in this. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus fixed his own vision on the joy that was set before him. We're supposed to fix our eyes on Jesus because looking to Jesus gives us the ability to endure. Looking at the joy that was set before him is what gave Jesus the ability to endure. And so we need to just, let's just follow that process. Why? It works. That's why. So Jesus, he's got the joy set before him, and he's looking at the joy that's coming. He's looking at the joy that's coming. He's looking at the gloriousness that we're all going to have when we're all dancing on streets of gold. He's looking to that which will be. And scripture says to us, hey, you guys, until you're there, fix your eyes on Jesus, which will remind you of where we're going and what we're doing and how it's going to be. You get that? Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast because they trust in thee, focused on the Lord, laser sharp because the Lord gets us through these things. When we focus on our situations, let's just be honest, they're overwhelming. They're big. They're vast. But they're not bigger than God. So you can look at that situation without God, or you can look at that situation with God in it. It's a choice. And in his evaluation, Jehoshaphat, without reservation, is, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. It's just an acknowledgement. I'm not sure what the next step is. I'm not sure what we're supposed to do. But our eyes are upon you. Look at the response. Verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehazel, Zechariah, son of Zechariah, and the son of Benaiah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly and said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Right. That's my response. All right. Because why? Because if the battle is God's, it's over. Done. We forget oftentimes Zechariah 2:8, which says that whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. We forget that. These situations, these armies, these things come against us. The Lord knows we're going through this. The Lord knows what's taking place. In his wisdom, he has permitted many things to take place, because ultimately he demonstrates his power, his glory, and his wisdom through the church to the rest of the universe, which we have no knowledge of what that even exists of. But the bottom line is, in that process, the Lord tells us, hey, you know what? Don't be afraid. I'm going to handle this. This battle is not yours. I'm going to take this on. And the reason they got that response is because the vision of the people was fixed on the Lord. On God, not the situation. God's response, don't be afraid. Why is that like the first thing that comes out from the Lord? Because fear incapacitates us. So one of the first things the Lord says in 100 different spots, and then don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Why? Because fear immobilizes us. It makes you do it. It's kind of like a freeze ray. I can't move. So God, the Lord says, don't be afraid. You're the apple of my eye. Don't be incapacitated. This war I'm going to fight for. This war I'm in. Keep your focus where it is. I'm going to help you through this process. It doesn't matter what the army. I'm going to help you. Why? Because I love you. That's why the Lord does it. You think, well, I don't deserve that love. Right. Correct. You don't deserve the love. But he still grants it. And in fact, you're going to make 10,000 more mistakes between now and the time a trumpet blows. And he'll still love you. He won't love you any more than less because he loves perfectly. You see what I'm saying? We grow in love. God's love is perfect. Just a theological point. So my point in this process is for us to get the fixed vision on God. Get the focus. Get them binoculars up. Put them on your eyes. Focus on the Lord. Because that's how you get through. Having a fixed vision on God, not on the situation. You can look at the situation 16,000 ways till Tuesday. I've done that a few times in my life. I've gotten into a situation and I've looked at every possible angle. In fact, I think I've looked at things from underneath, and I'm not supposed to do that. I have looked at every possible angle and I couldn't come up with a solution. And then I went to the Lord, right? Bad call. I should have went to the Lord first, kept my eyes focused on him, and just made sure that I trusted in him and walked with him, kept my confidence, knowing that he's delivered me every single time in the past. I should have just been believing that that was going to be concurrent. Instead, like many unfaithful moments in a Christian's life, I say, well, what have you done for me lately? And that's not the way we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to come to the Lord first, acknowledge him, be dependent, recognize it, and focus on him, not on the power of the mountain before us. He is our deliverer, not we, once we figure out the good angle. It's the Lord. That's where we got to get to, okay? We get back, I'm going to add one caveat to the whole thing, because that's what you got to do. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. and you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which takes about 25 to 30 minutes long. It takes about 30 minutes to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So here's a lesson for pastors and preachers everywhere. Jesus said everything he wanted to say on the Sermon on the Mount in 30 minutes. Paul took 12 hours. God didn't record a single word.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to get a hold of us, just shout, "Hey, David!" Oh, I heard that. Okay. I'm kidding. This segment brought to you by Pamela.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's a
Tokyo, no. So I'm not sure yet if Pamela's going to be in tomorrow. I'm hoping she's going to be in with John, so hopefully she will. Here's the bottom line. You have any questions about real estate, whether you're going to get involved buying a house, selling a house, investing in a house, trying to figure out if you want to get into landlord ownership, any of those things, or you're just looking for the first time. Maybe you're renting and you're thinking, I don't want to rent, I want to buy. Maybe you're a person who's got a big house and it's the empty nest scenario and it's like, time to reduce. Okay, I will tell you that everything is bigger in Texas. Let me just point this out real fast. My wife and I came from 1,100 square feet for more money, and now it's like three times. It's just like, wow. I mean, when I have to go, Noelle, when I scream her name and she doesn't hear me on the first run by, that means there's a lot of space because I am not quiet, right? That's pretty good. So I like that. So if you're a person and you're like, hey, that's too big, we want to shrink it, get in touch with Pamela. She'll help you go through the process. That's what you want. Somebody who gets it, knows how to walk you through it. The Blessed Realty Company, theblessedrealtycompany.com. Blessed, B-L-E-S-S-E-D. Theblessedrealtycompany.com. 817. What did you say, Dave? I said 817. 505. What did you say, Dave? I said 505. 5541. What did you say? 5541. 817-505. 5541. Get in touch with Pamela. Thank you. All right, here's our trivia question. We got to answer. See if we can answer this before we get to it. If not, I'll answer it at the end. In 1 Peter, what type of animal is linked to the devil? In 1 Peter, what type of animal is linked to the devil? Yay! 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. So this show, one of my favorite teachings of all time is this Jehoshaphat Jam. I love this thing. because I feel like it applies to us on an everyday basis. We can use it quite a bit. He's facing these armies. They're big. They're bad. They're ugly. These armies can be people, situations, feelings, sin, Satan, whatever the case may be. And Jehoshaphat, in wisdom, sought God's help first, not last. Great idea. Then he offers up this prayer of dependence. He acknowledges that God is in charge, and he acknowledges that we have no strength of our own. Okay, perfect. And then the key comes in where he has a fixed vision on God. He's saying, we can't do anything. We got nothing. We can do nothing, but our eyes are focused on you. He's got that vision going on. Same thing when Jesus is on the water, Hebrews chapter 12, Isaiah 26. And then God's response is, don't be afraid. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you because we are the apple of God's eye. Now we're going to take our caller, and then I'm going to finish up right after. So don't go anywhere on this. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Ace.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm better than I deserve. I promise you that. I promise you that. thank the good Lord for it, too. Mm-hmm.
I thank the good Lord for it as well, my friend. All right. What kind of animal was the enemy linked to in 1 Peter?
Memory serves me. It's a roaring lion.
That is correct. And you know what? That is so good that you did that. And I'll tell you why. Because it's not just a lion, it's a roaring lion. And why that's important is because when a lion is stalking prey, one of the things they do is they roar to freeze the prey, because lions are not typically as fast as some of the other animals. They're fast, but they're not as fast. And so they roar, and it paralyzes the animal with fear. And the difference between the roaring lion, the lion demonstration there, and Jesus as a lion, is Jesus is the reigning lion, not a roaring lion. Isn't that? I just love that. Excellent
Amen.
Job. Excellent job, my friend. I really, if that's exactly the answer I was looking for. You did a great job in that.
Good to see y'all. Talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, brother. All right. See? Roaring lion. See? I'm telling you, I used to, when I would teach us at a church, I would wait. I would turn my head, and I really did this. I was really bad. And then I would turn into the mic, and I would scream, rawr! And people would people would drop stuff. And I would go, that's what a roaring lion does. That's right. That's bad. One time I told people, and I had an old Bible. Don't get mad at me. And an old Bible was falling apart. And I said, well, if you're not going to use it, don't use it. And I took it and I threw it all the way down the distance of the church, which was, probably 40 some odd rows. You should have heard the gasps. I was like, well, if you're not using it. Yeah, exactly. All right. Excellent answer on our trivia question. Very happy about that. All right. Let's just want to finish this up, because we were talking about the Jehoshaphat Jan. Here's the one important element that I don't want anybody to miss. This is 2 Chronicles 20:21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And they went out ahead of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. What's crucial about that is the way that Jehoshaphat approached what he was going through and the people were going through. After he surrendered it to the Lord, fixed his vision on the Lord, he did the whole thing with praises on his lips. That's a huge key. Isaiah 61:3 talks about putting on the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. You know, you can walk around all day in the woe is me, or you can praise the Lord. Okay? You can be like Eeyore. Woe is me. It's my birthday. Or you can be praising the Lord, which is a powerful demonstration of faith. And when we yield to the Lord, I mean, here's what happened just in Jehoshaphat's case. They began to sing in praise. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. As they began to sing in praise, got it there, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place to overlook the desert, they looked out towards the vast army. They saw only dead bodies. God so intervened that God had the enemy kill himself. they got there ready to fight, nothing to do. Like, wait, what? It's like time for plunder. It's because they were already dead. That's how the Lord is, you know. Just like boom, done. Because total victories in Romans 8:37, and all these things were more than conquerors through him who loved us. The idea is to do this with praises on our lips. Now, just as a moment of confession, there are some times that we have gone into that position and we have maybe been a little more complainy than praisy. I didn't say crazy, I said praisy. So the idea is maybe to change that some, where we're a little more expressive about our thankfulness, knowing that the Lord has delivered you and I 1,000 times, if not 10,000 times, and praising him, knowing he's going to yet do it again. So how do we face the armies in our lives? With praises on our lips. With the praise in our heart and on our lips. And when we yield to God's control and praise him, there's a victory. When we yield to God's control and praise him, there's victory over what we face. That's how we got to do it, man. That is a powerful, powerful story in the Bible, applicable. See, things were written back then for our learning. Applicable for you and me day by day by day. You face the armies in your lives with praises on your lips. Okay? All right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then. The face up penalty, and when the final whistle blows, you're gonna lose your soul.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.